2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm looking forward to this message this morning. Three-word title this morning, just a simple statement, but I think it'll be a help to us this morning. I'm going to preach this more to save people this morning, people who are Christians. But let me say this, if you're here this morning and you do not know for sure that heaven is your eternal home, you need to get saved today. Jesus Christ loves you. God the Father loves you. And God sent his son Jesus down to this earth to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to rise again the third day, to pay for your sins. And if you'll simply confess your sin to God and put your faith and trust in him, he'll save you, give you a home in heaven. You'll become a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You can become a part of the family of God. And well, I'll tell you what, it's the best life to live. It's not a life without difficulty, but it's a life with God's help through the difficulty. And so anyway, we'll say a little bit more about that later on. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, go ahead and stand please when you find it. 2 Timothy 4, what time we get done? About 3 o'clock? No, I'm kidding. It won't be that long. All right. I was kidding about Chad singing too long too. You all understand that, right? That was just a lot in that. I should have, you know. It's a new message. I've never preached before, so I don't know where to cut it off yet. So anyway, it was whatever. Hey, you all come up here and try to do this sometimes. Not as easy as it looks. Just be patient, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. By the way, we're there right now. And the result is verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I had people this week get mad at me for preaching the truth and leave my church. It happened this week. Get a call, never coming back. Okay, God bless you. And by the way, the problem's always with the pastor. Their problem is always with the pastor. Except here's the thing, their problem's not with the pastor, the problem is with the truth. And so they leave. But it's always the pastor's fault in their mind. And by the way, in what they say out in the community. You try to bear that sometimes. Not as easy as it looks. But we're living there, folks, right now. Day of apostasy. A day where people, listen, folks, who have been saved for years and served and done and gone for years are just for no reason under the sun, it seems, Brother Chad, just turning the way and going off. Well, this is what he's talking about. In verse number 5, he says this then, talking to a young man, Timothy, by the way, who was doing a great work himself for the Lord, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not, I love this, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I want to preach a message this morning called this, Focus Determines Destination. Focus determines destination. I want you to listen carefully, all right? Lord, we come to you today. Thank you again for the opportunity of being in your house this morning. Thank you for each of these folks. I love them dearly, Lord. I don't know all of them personally. I know many of them, though, personally. And, Lord, I sure am thankful for them. Thank you, Lord, for their investment in Victory Baptist Church down through the years, and my family and I down through the years, and my wife for her whole life. Lord, I sure thank you for it. Lord, I'm humbled to be here, honored to be here. Please, Lord, have your hand of blessing, Lord, and power upon Pastor Ross this morning. He's preaching in Pennsylvania. Trying to help some Yankees, and Lord, help Brother Roger over there, Lord, as he's trying to help some folks over in Victory, and Lord, help us here today. We need your help, Lord. We need your power to be able to do the work that you've given us to do, and we'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. I'm probably going to split the church right here. How many of y'all like John Deere tractors? How many of y'all think John Deere tractors are trash? All right, see, there we go, about half and half. So anyway, some of y'all are too cowards to raise your hand. I'm just kidding, all right? But amen. Hey, at least some of us voted, all right? Some of y'all didn't even vote. But how many of y'all don't care? There's the rest of you, okay? At least you got to raise your hand. I tried to help you, all right? anyway, growing up, my dad was born and raised in New Albany, Indiana, right across the river from Louisville, and they actually had family friends that lived in a place called LaGrange, Kentucky. It's just outside, kind of east of Louisville a little ways, in Henry County, Kentucky. And my grandma grew up with Lillian Fisher was the lady's name, and John Fisher was her husband. He had about a 320-acre farm or so out there in Henry County, and he was a farmer. He farmed tobacco and corn and cattle and all kind of different things. And so anyway, my dad and his family would go out there most every weekend. They would go out to the farm, and my grandpa and my dad and his brothers would help Mr. Fisher on his farm, and then they would spend the weekends together. My dad grew up doing that. From the time my dad was just a young boy, he grew up driving on these 40 series John Deere tractors. Well, I remember growing up then, we would go out there to the same farm. We'd go out to his farm, and then his son, John's son, Buddy, was a farmer in Eminence, Kentucky. And we'd go out there, and I remember being 8 years old, and they went out to get a calf way back at the back 40 of this farm, and it was in a little cattle rack on the back of this tractor, and my dad was riding up on the fender with Buddy, and they stuck me back there with this little calf in the cattle rack on the back of that thing. And then for some reason, that little calf, he did not like me being in his cage. And, boy, we're riding up that hill, and all of a sudden that calf got up, and he run right at me in that little cage. And I freaked out and jumped out of the back of that rack. And anyway, I remember I was 8 years old, I think, and I grew up doing that. Well, we'd be driving around, and everywhere my dad would see one of these 40-series John Deere tractors or 30-series John Deere tractors, he would slow down, and he would look, and he'd try to see on the side of that what model number it was. And he was looking for a 3020 tricycle diesel is what he was looking for. That's his favorite tractor of all time, a 3020 diesel engine tricycle front end. That's what he drove growing up. That's what he loves. And so he's always looking at him. You know, and by the way, he can tell now just looking at him. He don't even have to see the number. He can tell now just looking at him. Well, you grow up that way. I do the same thing now because I want to be able to tell Dad, hey, Dad, guess what I saw today? And I can text my dad and I can call my dad and we can talk about it. And we have that connection, that memory, right? And so I'll still do that today. Well, here about a month and a half ago, or 2 months ago probably, I was driving out in Eastern Green visiting some bus kids. And I saw, in fact, I've driven by this farm, I don't know, 100 times. And this guy has a big, nice barn right beside the road. He's got this nice, big barn, probably about 50 yards or so off the road. And on this particular day, he had this thing looked brand new. 4020 tricycle front end, backed out of his barn, just sitting there in his little parking lot outside of his barn. Looks to me like he was probably working on some other piece of equipment in his barn. I saw that thing, and I'm grabbing my phone. I'm driving at the same time. On a country road. Driving. In Eastern Green. I'm trying to snap pictures of this thing. I'm looking and trying to figure out the number on the side and all this stuff. And I look up and I am running straight at a mailbox off the left-hand side of that road. I had only taken my eyes off the road for about 10 or 15 seconds. And I'm looking right at this mailbox. Well, my truck, I got a newer truck out here. This truck has this little sensor in it where when you're getting ready to smack something and kill yourself, it beep, 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 and it flashes this red warning danger light in the dashboard. Kind of like I was talking to my dad this week. I told him kind of the story and told him I was going to preach and stuff. He said, yeah, it's kind of like we were talking kind of like that old danger, Will Robinson, danger. From Lost in Space years ago. Red warning light and danger, right? It's kind of the same thing. And so basically I got a newer version of that. Well, man, I jerked that thing back over. I'm straightening off and I'm looking around to see if anybody saw me, you know. And I didn't. The picture that I got of the tractor was blurry. So it was almost just an awful tragedy. So wrecked my truck trying to get a picture and didn't even get the picture. But anyway, that happens to us all the time. You're driving down the road, take your eye off the road for just a second. And then boom, you hear the rumble strips. Or you start to see your light flash in front of your eyes. Or if you got a car that beeps at you, right? That happens. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. The thing is, folks, where we focus determines where we go. Our focus determines our destination. I took my eyes off the road for literally, by the way, a very worthy reason. For just a second, and I almost bought a mailbox and had a hood ornament on my truck, all right? Let me say this first of all this morning. The destination I'm talking about in the message this morning is not heaven. I'm not talking about heaven this morning. Heaven, by the way, let me say this, all right, before I get too far into the message. Heaven is not determined by your focus. Heaven is determined by your faith in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today that believe you have to hold on, that believe you have to work, that believe you have to continue to try to earn, continue to try to merit. That's not it. Faith in Jesus Christ, confession, repentance, faith in Jesus Christ is what secures your eternal destiny. I'm not talking about heaven this morning. And by the way, the Apostle Paul here, when he's talking in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's talking about accomplishing God's will for his life. He's talking about fulfilling the plan that God had created him for. He's talking about doing exactly why God called him into the ministry, the victorious Christian life, essentially. And I want you to listen carefully this morning. Let me give you some Bible foundation. We're blessed in the life of the Apostle Paul to actually get a beginning to end glimpse of God's call and God's work in his life. Let me give you an illustration of that. God's work began in the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. In fact, I would say it probably began in the end of Acts chapter 7 when Saul was standing by and watched Stephen get stoned for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Saul of Tarsus is standing there and the people who stoned Stephen threw their cloaks down at the feet of Saul. I believe that made an impact on Saul of Tarsus to where just a little while later, the Lord Jesus appears to him on the Damascus Road and he gets saved. But in Acts chapter 9, we find the beginning of God's work in Saul's life as far as the scripture is concerned. And you don't have to turn there this morning, but you guys know the passage here. Of course, the Lord appears to or calls out to Saul on the Damascus Road. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul answers, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Remember then Saul's question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Remember that? And so Saul calls, this is hard for a Kentucky boy to say. So Saul calls him Lord, talking about God, and then asks, "What wilt thou have me to do?" We read in our text passage there then the end of Saul, or Paul now, his work for the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 again, and hang with me here during the introduction. Verse 7, the Bible says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so we see the beginning of Paul's work for Christ in Acts chapter 9, and we see the ending, essentially, of his life, or right at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Between Acts chapter 9, listen carefully, don't miss this. Between Acts chapter 9 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was arguably the greatest missionary, church planner, and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that you will ever read about or study about in the world. He really was. I mean, listen, folks, you never see him turn aside. You never see him quit. You never see him complain. You never see him give up. You never see him lose faith. You never see him change positions to or deny Christ. You never see him go liberal. You never see him turn back from following the Lord. He remains faithful to Christ, accomplishes much for Christ, and we are still, by the way, talking about him 2,000 years later. God did a great work through the Apostle Paul. But listen very carefully, folks. It's not because Paul did not face difficulty either. It's not because he had a peaches and cream, you know, ice cream and fried chicken path, all right? That's pretty good to me, all right? At the time that he writes 2 Timothy, by the way, you're familiar with this. He was in prison. He did not write it from freedom. He wrote it from prison. He is being held as a prisoner in a Roman prison cell in AD 67 or 68. By the way, he was beheaded for preaching Christ in AD 68. And so listen very carefully, folks. When Paul pens these words, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith," understand that his execution by beheading is just a few months away. Think about that. Paul gives power to that statement that he makes here. While in prison, contemplating the life that he has lived, the path that he has followed. He writes the second letter to Timothy, recounting some of what he went through. He tells some of the hardships that he had endured. He then makes a few statements that really define the Apostle Paul to Timothy and now to us today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you were to look back there just a page, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says this, "For God hath not," by the way, he's in prison, awaiting his execution. And he writes these words, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." By the way, listen, hey, you know, pandemic's difficult, but it's not beheading. And Paul stands and says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. I'd love to shout that to America today. Hey, stop living in fear. I love the statement Pastor Ross put on the slide. We don't live by fear, we live by faith. Yeah, that's the truth. That's how we as Christians live, are to live. Paul went through, folks, some very great difficulty in his life serving God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about it. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Beaten with rods, stones, shipwreck, night and a day spent in the deep, journeyings often, perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by his own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness and painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without. Yeah, listen, all of that stuff is external, physical. There was a mental and emotional and spiritual toll that he battled as well. The care of the churches. It's a burden. It's difficult. It's hard. But don't miss this, folks. Between Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road and 2 Timothy chapter 4 in a Roman prison cell, Paul had many, listen carefully, don't miss this, many opportunities and occasions whereby you will never convince me that Satan did not come and sit on his shoulder and try to convince him to quit on God. He went through some, listen, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, he may have went through the second most persecution and difficulty in his life other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological toll in every area of his life, Paul went through the battle. You'll never convince me. Satan did not come and try to convince Paul to quit. Paul, what are you doing? Why are you going through all of this stuff? What is this profiting you? You're going to kill yourself, and for what? You could go somewhere, settle down as a tent maker, make an honest living, a good living for your family, live the rest of your life in pleasure. You're going and doing and serving and giving and being used, and you've never had any time for yourself. You're giving everything for the cause of Christ, and what has that profited you? It'd be a whole lot easier, Paul, if you just settle down, find a wife, have a family, and just chill out. That's what Satan wanted him to do because Paul was a threat to Satan's work. I guarantee you, Satan came and sat on Paul's shoulder and shouted in his ear these type of things. But something kept Paul faithful. Something kept Paul busy and going and preaching and teaching and soul winning and fighting and battling. Are you with me this morning, folks? Something inside of Paul kept Paul in the battle for lost souls, engaged in warfare against Satan, and faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. What was that thing on the inside of the Apostle Paul? I believe it was his focus, what he was focused on. I believe, according from the Bible, folks, that focus determines destination. Focus determines destination. There's one more passage. I actually want you to turn to this one. Hold your place there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to go to one more place quickly, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3 and verse 13. There's one other passage here. By the way, this takes place about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years maybe before 2 Timothy is written in AD 67, 68, right before Paul's beheaded. So Paul pens this letter to the church of Philippi, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe 6 years before he's beheaded for the cause of Christ in AD 67, 68. Here's what Paul writes, by the way, through inspiration of the Spirit of God in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I believe it was his focus that kept him going. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark." You know what that is? Focus. It's focus. Focus determined Paul's destination. focus determined where Paul ended his life at. What Paul kept his focus on determined what he accomplished in his life. Paul's destination was, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul's destination was the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's focus, his destination was that I may, remember this passage, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul, listen, folks, he stayed focused on the end goal. He focused on that. He pressed after that. He kept his eyes focused on that and looking at that. And it drove him and motivated him and challenged him and encouraged him and helped him stay faithful even through the greatest of difficulty in his life. His focus determined his destination. His focus determined his destination. You know what? If Paul would have taken his eyes off of Jesus Christ, you know where he would have ended up? You know, heading for a mailbox and a hood ornament on his truck. I mean, you know, not literally. He would have wound up off track. A castaway, a has-been. By the way, a lot of them today. But you'll find this principle, folks, not just in the life of the Apostle Paul. Think about it, folks, all the way through the Scripture. You'll find this in almost every single great Bible character. Think about Abraham back in the Old Testament. Well, this is just New Testament. No, this is Old Testament too. Remember Abraham? Hebrews chapter 11, Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By the way, can you imagine that? God says, go. And Abraham says, where? God says, I'll tell you when you get there. Hey, that's faith, folks. Steps out by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Listen carefully. For he looked, remember this phrase, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. His focus determined his destination. Remember Caleb? I could go all the way through the Bible, folks. Remember Caleb? Caleb in the book of Joshua. Remember they sent the 12 spies out to spy out Canaan land. And they came back and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right? Joshua and Caleb came back. Good report. By the way, Joshua and Caleb had to wander the wilderness for 40 years, not because of their faith, but because of others' lack of faith. And yet, Caleb never lost his focus. What was he focused on? A mountain. I want that mountain. We still sing about it in the hymn book. And by the way, do you know what he got? He got his mountain in Joshua chapter 14. His focus determined his destination. Are you listening to me this morning? His focus determined his destination. Paul maintained a right focus from Acts chapter 9 all the way through to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when 2 Timothy 4 rolled around, Paul was able to say, after having maintained focus through his life on the Lord Jesus Christ, he finished and said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What can we focus on that will help us reach the destination of accomplishing God's will for our life? What are some of the things that the Apostle Paul focused on that helped him arrive at that destination of having done what God created him to do? Let me give you five things quickly, all right? Five things quickly. Watch this. Number one, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. Numero uno. Number one. I'll confess to you this morning, folks, there have been some struggle days this year. Go on. Listen, folks, we're almost a year into this pandemic. We started canceling churches middle of March, and we're almost there, a couple weeks away. 50 weeks we've dealt with this. Been struggle, lost some folks, been real, been difficult. Been some days where maybe Satan has come and sat on your shoulder. Come on, Blessed Old Baptist Church. Difficulty? Yeah, maybe not facing beheading, but facing uncertainty about your health, about your finances, about your future. Uncertain days. You'll never convince me Satan's not come and sat on some of your shoulder and said, hey, just quit. Why are you going to keep going? I mean, you've been faithful for years. What's it, you know? That's the way Satan works. It's who he is. Stinking punk. It's who he is. Comes in the worst of times, and that's when he comes and sits on our shoulder and tries to get us off. He does that. When those days come, we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. Paul considered Christ and it kept him going. Most people consider the Apostle Paul as the author, the writer of the book of Hebrews, the pinner downer. For you hypercritical, all right? I understand God authored the whole thing, all right? I'm good. But the one that God used to pin down the Apostle Paul, I believe, was Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 then says this, for consider him. Remember that? In other words, focus on him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. The key to avoid being wearied and fainting and quitting in the Christian life, folks, when things are difficult, is to focus often on the person of Jesus on the cross. Jesus endured the betrayal by one of his own. He endured the arrest in the guard, the false accusations, the lies about him, the mock trials, the crowds chanting, crucify him, crucify him. The cat of nine tails on his back 39 times, the beating, the crowds of people laughing and mocking and jeering and sneering and ridiculing, the robe on his back and the crown of thorns and the reed in his hand mocking him being the king of the Jews, the cross being placed on his back, the road to Golgotha, the nails in his hands and the feet and his feet hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, the weight of the sin of the world upon his back, and if that wasn't enough, the heavenly Father turning his back on his only begotten Son. And yet he did not quit. He could have called legion after legion after legion of angels to escort him back to glory and say, I'm done, I'm through. But he didn't. In fact, he stayed on the cross and he uttered three words. He says, it is finished. 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 So you want to quit? Focus on Jesus. He didn't quit. He went all the way. And we need to finish faithfully for him. Number two. Number one, focus on Jesus on the cross. Number two, focus on the lost. Focus on the lost. You want to quit? You want to turn aside? Focus on the lost. It'll keep you motivated in the battle. Because there's a whole lot of them still out there. Paul's focus was on the lost, folks, and it motivated him. It drove him to continue faithfully serving God. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The moment Jesus saved us, he gave us a mission. That mission is simple, to bring others to him for salvation. When we're tempted to quit the whole serving God thing, we got to remember the lost folks and the great task that is still upon us. If you and I quit, what's going to happen to the lost folks that God desires to save, that Jesus hung on a cross and bled and died for and rose again the third day to save them? What's going to happen to them if we quit going with the gospel? They're going to end up in the devil's hell. That's what's going to happen. So stay focused on the lost. It drove the Apostle Paul. I could go to 1 Corinthians 9, but we don't have time this morning. Listen, folks, we cannot quit the work of sharing the gospel. Number three, I got five. We're going to go quick here, the last couple of them, all right? Number three, number one, focus on Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Number two, focus on the lost around you. Number three, focus on the faithful. Amen. Amen. Focus on the faithful. 2 Timothy, go back to 2 Timothy real quick, back to our text passage here, but go back a chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Hold on. Everybody good now? Everybody good? Focus determines destination. Paul stayed focused on some things in his life, and it helped him get from Acts chapter 9 all the way through his life faithfully. Even through great difficulty, he remained faithful to the end. Why? Because he focused on some things that helped keep him on track. He focused on Jesus on the cross. He focused on the lost around him, the work that he had to do. It motivated him. Number three, he focused on the faithful. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. By the way, we talked about Antioch in Sunday school this morning. First one we looked at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them, all the Lord delivered me. You know, he's telling a young man, Timothy, hey, when you are tempted to quit, Timothy, hey, Remember me. Remember me and how I stayed faithful to the Lord. And let that encourage you. And by the way, read the epistles of Paul. You know what he does? He names person after person after person after person after person who had remained faithful in church after church after church. And he reminded the people of the faithful to help motivate them to keep going for Christ. Can I just tell you this morning, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Victory Baptist Church, and Pastor Clancy, we thank the Lord and we focus on the faithful at Blessed Hope. I'm not trying to build you up this morning, folks. I'm just telling you the absolute fact. You guys have been faithful. And your faithfulness has far-reaching effects that you will never know, may not even know when you get to heaven, the impact the Blessed Hope Baptist Church has had. Can I just say this morning, thank you all for being faithful. You don't know the impact that it has. You don't know the souls that have been won, the work that has been done, that God has done through you for just staying faithful. Focus on the faith. By the way, for some of y'all, it may be a grandma or grandpa, or an aunt or an uncle, or a mom or a dad that have faithfully just walked with God, served God their whole life. For some of y'all, listen, it's Pastor Ross, obviously, and Grandpa Ross going back. My wife and I've got a wedding here in a couple of months at Victory that we're going to do, and my sister Samantha got engaged, and we got her wedding coming up here. Man, this is wedding spring for us. Got a lot of weddings I got to go to. It's a good thing, but we were talking about, Hannah and I were talking about here a couple of weeks ago we were sitting at dinner here Friday before last with my family, and they were talking about marriage counseling, right? I got to do marriage counseling now. And they were talking about marriage counseling and stuff, and they asked, hey, who did y'all's marriage counseling? Grandpa Ross. That was the most awesome thing in the world. Sitting back in the office, him sitting back in his chair, looking at both of us sitting there. And basically it was, hey, if you hurt my granddaughter, I will kill you and bury you in a hole somewhere and nobody will ever find you. That was pretty much the extent of it. But then there was a little of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And there was a little of just that old common sense. Faithful to the very end. And listen, folks, focus on the faithful. You start to get off track, start to lose focus, start to think about turning aside. Think about the ones who stayed faithful. I'm looking out here at many folks in the church, Brother Miss Gordon, Brother Miss Myrie, and Brother Bud. I mean, I'm going to leave people. I shouldn't have started naming names. But I mean, people that have just been, that had my wife when she was, you know, all the way up, still here, still faithful. Thank you. Number four, watch this. I gotta go quick. I don't know when we're supposed to be done. Last two will go quick. Number four, focus on the next generation. Focus on the next generation. Now, you want to quit? Okay. There's people coming up behind you. They're going to be looking at you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. By the way, who is Paul writing this to? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Who's he writing this to? Timothy. Who's Timothy? A young preacher. Paul, in the end of his life, folks, he's facing beheading in a few months. And yet, you know what he's focused on? Timothy. Hey, here's some things, Timothy, that I've learned. Here's some things that have helped me. Timothy, hey, do not lose track. Hey, you endure as I've endured. You stay faithful as I stay. You keep preaching the word, Timothy. What he's doing? Paul's focused on the next generation. He's not selfishly only thinking of himself. He's thinking of those coming behind him. Consider the next generation. Let me give you the last thing this morning, and this one is up there with the Lord Jesus and the cross of Calvary. Number one, focus on Jesus on the cross. Number two, focus on the lost. Number three, focus on the faithful. Number four, focus on the next generation. Number five, focus on heaven and seeing Jesus again one day soon. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, last place. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, I love that word. Henceforth. In other words, because I fought a good fight, because I finished my course, because I kept the faith, because I stayed faithful and did not quit, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, yeah, man, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Folks, can I tell you this morning that heaven is real? Heaven is real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. It's not a dream. It's real in a littler place. Streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl and a crystal clear river and the presence of God and the light of Jesus Christ and our saved loved ones who've gone on before us and no more sin, no more darkness, no more heartache, no more pain. It's a wonderful, real, literal place. And that if you're saved, you'll be there very soon. I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Remember that second? In that beautiful home. Hey, this world's not our home. I'm combining all the songs. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. In that beautiful home where we'll never more roam, we shall be in that sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King through eternity sing. 'Tis a land where we never shall die. When our work here is done, come on, and our life crown is won. Isn't that what Paul was talking about right there? And our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. We're going there someday soon, folks. Some of y'all have loved ones up there right now that you can't wait to see again. I've talked to several people that are in this situation where they feel like they've got more up there than there's here. And they feel like the reunion gets more sweet every day. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Come on, folks. You want to quit? Oh, we're almost there. We're almost there. No, I ain't looking to go on the next trip. But I mean, listen, in light of eternity, 70 is micro. Just a little while longer. Don't quit. Don't turn aside. Don't turn back. Stay faithful. Keep your focus right. I'm going to keep singing until you get excited. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. I could go song after song after song. I ain't going to. That's enough. Y'all don't want to ever hear me sing again. You're never going to have me come back. But folks, do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Your focus determines your destination. Let me take 30 seconds. If you're here this morning and you're lost, your focus does matter what you're focusing on. A lot of people focus on works and it don't get them there. A lot of people focus on being a good person and it don't get you there. They focus on coming up here and jumping into baptistry. Don't do a cannonball. But getting into baptistry, getting dunked, that don't get you there. It's got to be faith in Jesus Christ. But beyond that, to a group of faithful Christians at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, remember the Apostle Paul here in this passage. He was getting ready to go. By the way, think about it, folks. He's writing this down. By the way, bad eyesight. Maybe even have somebody help him write this down. Sends the letter off. Few days later, maybe a couple of months later, he don't know the exact day, Roman guard comes to his cell, escorts the Apostle Paul out there to a chopping block out in the courtyard. Apostle Paul kneels down there, lays his head down there on that block, and Paul's life ended faithfully serving Jesus Christ. Now think about this, folks. What do we know about the Bible? We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as Paul's life ended, he was immediately in the arms of Jesus. And can you imagine that reunion, Chad? Between the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ. You know what I can picture happening, Brother Gordon? I can picture Paul's spirit comes up there, his soul comes up there, and I can picture Jesus just goes up there and puts his arms around him. And Paul's trying to fall down at Jesus' feet. He's trying to give all... But Jesus says, no, son, hey, come on up here, brother. God bless you. By the way, watch this. Well done, thou good and faithful. Stay faithful. Focus determines destination. Lord, we come to you today. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that does not know for sure that heaven is their home, Lord, convict them of their need of a Savior. Bring them to the point, Lord, where they're willing to trust you for salvation. Lord, I'm speaking to a faithful church this morning. For years and years and years, they've been faithfully holding forth the standard for other churches to follow after. Lord, starting other churches, winning people to Christ, supporting missions, doing the work, running the buses, everything else. Help them, Lord, not to turn aside. Help them, Lord, not to turn back. Help them, Lord, just to get behind that preacher who's leading the way and say, hey, we're going to keep going for Christ. We're going to stay faithful. We're going to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We're not going to quit. Our focus determines our destination. We want to finish here in well done, thou good and faithful. So we have to stay good and faithful. Help us, Lord, in this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.